You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, friends, let's get into this VOP lesson entitled, You Can Face the Judgment Unafraid. Now, Daniel's description of the judgment in heaven can be awe-inspiring, but it can also be a little bit intimidating when we look at it, right? Many look to the day of judgment with fear and with trepidation, and you hear verses that tell you all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You hear the wages of sin is death. Then you're just like, in that case, I guess it's over for me, right? There's no hope for me. But let's hear what today's lesson actually has to say about that. And we're joined on the line by our sister, Patience Mube, who's going to be taking us through this lesson. My sister, good afternoon. Welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Hi, my sister. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Looking forward to getting into this lesson, especially for those people out there who when every time you think about the judgment, it's like, oh, I'm dead. It's over with. Like, there's no hope for me because I know myself, right? And so looking at today's lesson, is the day of judgment something for us to fear or to dread? Can you just take us through what the lesson tells us about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how you started mentioning how we look at ourselves and we look at our sins. Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, the reason why we fear judgment is because we look at ourselves. Oh. But when we don't look at ourselves, and we will understand this as we go through the lesson, that we don't look at ourselves, we don't have anything to help ourselves with. Because even on the day that you think you're doing something good, you're still doing bad. You know, you find this in that Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, it says, even our righteousness is as filthy rags. Yeah. So even on the day you think that you're being a good person, you are not a good person. There's still, you know, selfish motives, you know, there are intentions that are not actually pure. And this is why you are actually quoting the verse that says, all have sinned. So there's nothing good in us. So we can't even look at ourselves. And every time we fear, when we fear death, when we fear judgment, it is because we are looking at our own righteousness. We think that maybe there's something that I can do. And this is the carnal mind, right? This is the natural mind. We tend to want to fix things, right? When you to tell yourself, okay, maybe I can fix it. I lied too much. Maybe I should stop interacting with this person, you know. I'm a thief. Maybe I could try stopping. And so we look at ourselves so much and we keep on failing because we think that we can do it on our own. But today's lesson is here to give us hope that we don't have to fear anything, right? In as much as the Bible tells us that everything is written, actually Isaiah 65 verse 6 says, hey, it says our iniquities are written, literally your thoughts, right? Your imagination, what you have said, what you have done from birth, it is all written. And when Daniel presents it, he says that there's 10,000s and 10,000s of angels. So you know what? It sounds scary. Yeah. But the hope is that, the person who is present, right, in that judgment hall. And I think in the past lessons, we have seen that firstly, Jesus is the one who is judging, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very significant that we understand the person who stands for us in order for us to appreciate this. When we read the Bible in John chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus is basically telling them that, you know what, a judgment has been committed to him. So the Father does not judge anyone, but Jesus is the judge. Okay, that's very important. Okay. So number one, we learn that Jesus is the judge. And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, I actually want to read this one. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So this is John the Revelator. He's seeing a vision, and this is a description of Jesus. Now, he refers to Jesus as the faithful witness. So first you have Jesus as your judge. He's the one who's supposed to say, okay, you are in or out. He's the one who's judging.
Guilty, yeah.
You understand? And then now he becomes our witness. He's not just a witness, he's a faithful witness. He has the correct record. He knows what you think about 3 a.m. He knows what's happening. But I love the fact that, you know, he stands to witness on your behalf. Hey. Do you understand? Because here the Bible says that He is the prince of the kings of the earth, right? And it says that he has loved us and washed us from our sins. So he has an accurate record of your sins, But he doesn't just sit with the record. He washes away those sins. So you have somebody who can witness and say, okay, no, we know her. She's a liar. But my blood, you understand? So he is not surprised. Nobody's going to show up in the courtroom and be like, but you forgot something. This person, no, he knows it all and he has washed it all, right? And the most important thing, right, as we read Isaiah, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, the part where he washes us from our sins. Mm-hmm. So he's not just a witness. So he becomes a substitute. Okay, so we are in the court, right? Where you know you're guilty. I mean, the Bible has told us all have sinned. We know we are guilty, and maybe just to make an example, you have killed somebody. Mm-hmm. You are supposed to be sentenced to life in prison or to death, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And so, what Jesus does, because he has died for us, he says, "Okay, patience has murdered." Patience deserves to die. Mm-hmm. And she's guilty. But instead of her carrying the penalty, I'm going to step in. That's what Jesus does, right? As a faithful witness, he becomes the substitute. And we get this from the book Isaiah chapter 53. I want to read that one.
Okay.
Verse number 5. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed."
Hey.
So what Isaiah is saying, he's saying Jesus had to die for our iniquities. So in my position, Jesus dies. So this is what the Bible is saying. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it means when I lie, I'm supposed to drop dead. When you steal, you must drop dead. But then because of this verse that we have, when you lie, Jesus says, okay, I'm going to step in. You understand? Let's forgive the person. When you kill, Jesus is like, no, I'm stepping in. Remember my blood. This is why he went to the cross.
Nice.
You understand? So every time, how many times did we sin today? You're supposed to be dead. 7 o'clock in the morning, we were supposed to be finished, all of us. But Jesus is like, my blood, you understand? And because of that, he steps in and he becomes a substitute. And this is why Jesus is so important in our lives, right? Because he's the one who's going to judge. He is the faithful witness. And then he's also the substitute. He takes the penalty, you know. And he's such an important, for lack of a better word, I'll say an important figure. But then Jesus is God. That without Jesus, we fear judgment.
Yeah.
Because not even the angels could come and die for us. It can only be Jesus. And so Jesus steps in and says, okay, I will take it upon myself. You know, and this is why I love Psalms chapter 103, verse 10. It says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. You know, we deserve to be dead. We deserve all bad things. But Jesus says, I'm going to step in. And so every time when we appear, right, when we are going to appear in the judgment day, Jesus acknowledges that, yes, they are sinners, but they are mine. So he covers us.
Okay.
So when God the Father is looking at us, he's not looking at our merits. He sees the merits of Jesus Christ. He sees the life of Christ. And therefore, we are not treated as we deserve. We are not punished according to our iniquities. We are treated as Jesus is treated. And Jesus was treated the way we deserve to be treated. We were supposed to be hung on the cross. But Jesus is like, no, I'm going to do it so that you can get the life that you don't even deserve. So the point, this does not happen magically, right? I don't sin and sin and sin and sin and be like, okay, judgment day, I'm just going to be like, Jesus, help me. No, you accept Jesus right now. You claim the blood of Jesus right now. And when you confess your sins, he's faithful, right? The only thing that you need to do is you confess.
Yeah.
That, you know what, I have sinned. And when you confess, you don't say, okay, I've sinned. No. But what do you do, right? I have sinned. Not that Jesus doesn't know. But confession means that you acknowledge and you're willing to repent that I have lied. I have fornicated. I have committed. I've done all of those things.
Yeah.
And I want the life of Jesus. Right. And when that day comes, then we don't have to fear because we walk in confidence that we are forgiven. We know that our future is secure because we have the forgiveness of God, not the forgiveness of a human being. Because one thing about human beings is that I'm going to remind you that 11 October 2025, you said, and I quote, and I've got evidence. I have screenshot that you said it. But Jesus does not do that. You know, the Bible says that he will forget our sins. He doesn't treat us as if we are sinners. It's like we never even say, like Jesus looks at you and is like, oh, this one has never lied because you've confessed and you've claimed the blood of Jesus. So he's not like us. He's not going to remind us, and we are not going, you are not going to get to experience, you won't be a slave in heaven, right? You won't be a slave in heaven because you were once a sinner. In fact, we are going to get a very high position. I mean, earth is going to become like capital of the universe.
Come on.
Where sinners resided, it becomes a capital. Because Jesus is like, I'm not going to treat you like you're sinners, because he took the penalty. So the whole point and the appeal is that let us accept Jesus as our personal savior. Then we don't have to fear judgment, right? Because Jesus has paid it all.
Yep.
Jesus has done it all. When we fear and when we lose heaven, it's just on me. Yeah. It's on me. Because this man is like, I'll be your judge. You understand? I will vindicate. I will be the faithful witness. I will be everything. And this is why John in Revelations, he says the Alpha and the Omega. Because there is nothing outside of him. He's the beginning and he's the end. Yeah. He's everything in between. So when we're in court, he's everything. Yeah. He plays all the roles.
All the roles.
And so that's why we need Jesus.
Now, but someone might argue that, you know, having Jesus as the judge, the attorney, the witness, and he's also paying the penalty for my sin, it's a lot. Is it possible for him to be impartial, to be an impartial judge, when he's playing all these roles? And does that matter? Should it matter?
So I think that's a good question. And the fact that he plays all the roles, it makes him the perfect person, right, for the job. Because he cannot be impartial, because this person was at the cross. I mean, he could have just left the cross,
right,
you know. So he, when he does the judgment, he remembers his blood.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible tells us that he still has the wounds. So he remembers that, okay, I died for this one. And he cannot, and the Bible also tells us that God hates partiality. He does not favor people.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So there's no point where he's going to get to a point where he's like, okay, murderers, the pedophiles, the ones that rape children, no, these ones, no. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. So Jesus died for the entire world. What is in the world? We have liars. We have psychopaths in the world. We have whatever you can think of, the people who bomb the world, Jesus died for that person. And Jesus is saying, I can also wash away your sins. If you are willing, I can do that. So he is not a respecter of people. He doesn't pick and choose, and that's why he dies for the world. And it is so important that he's the one who's the witness, because Jesus is God, and he knows even your thoughts and your intentions. Mm-hmm. So from a person who knows your intentions and your thoughts, he's the right person to judge. Yeah. And this is why our justice system does not work out in the world, because you can't judge somebody when you don't know their intentions. And by the way, no one will ever know my intentions.
Right.
I'll tell you that I love you, but you don't know if I really love you or I want something from you.
Yep.
So Jesus becomes the perfect person because he can read your intentions. He knows why you did what you did. And this is why heaven is going to be a shocking place. Because you're going to meet people like, but Johnny, how did you make it?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is going to show us how people made it, you know?
Yeah.
So Jesus cannot be partial. He's God. Remember, he's omnipresent, omniscient. He's omni everything you can think.
Mm-hmm.
So he sees everything, and he knows us. So he's the perfect person. He's the faithful witness. He's the right judge. And the fact that he's the substitute. If he was partial, he was not going to be the substitute for everybody. He would oppose whom he wants to die for.
Yes. Yeah, man, he would come and say, I'm only dying for David, the man after my own heart. I am dying for Moses. I am dying for Elijah. The rest of y'all are not serious, so tough luck.
I mean, he had every right.
Right. Now, Having said all of this, you know, it's such a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful lesson. The fact that basically it's like Jesus is saying, get behind me, you know, come and hide behind me. And I'm going to take care of the situation. Don't worry. I've got this. Stop looking at yourself. Mm. Stop looking at your sin. Stop looking. I know all those things. There's nothing that you've done. There's nothing that you've thought that I have not seen, that I'm unaware of. So don't worry. Just get behind me. And
someone
looks at that and thinks, this is too good to be true, though. Can we truly face the judgment unafraid? How would you conclude the lesson? How do we really get to that day or even think about that day without any fear?
Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to use the situation that happens right before the cross. You've got Judas and Peter. Mm-hmm. Those two both betrayed Christ, right? In different ways, mm-hmm. but betrayal is betrayal according to Christ. And what happens is that when the crow crowed three times, right? Mm-hmm. Peter doesn't look at himself. He has sinned. He has done something wrong. Yeah. He looks at Christ, right? And that's how he was saved. That's why he was like, okay, I've sinned, and he went to cry, and eventually they reconciled. The problem with Judas is he looked at himself. He was like, yo, I have crucified the Son of Man. Yo, like, you know what? There's nothing that can be done. Mm. He went ahead and hung himself, right? So you have two people who have done the same thing. Both denied Christ. The other one looks at himself. The other one looks at Christ. Mm. And so if we see that situation and tell ourselves that I want to be like Peter, Peter was not perfect. Peter is the one who was with a knife, cut somebody's ear. Peter is the one, he was talking too much, that guy. He did a lot of mistakes, but he did not look at his mistakes. He looked at Christ, right? So it is very important that we get to a point where...
All right, friends, not sure what just happened there. We seem to have lost patience. Let's see if we can try and reestablish that connection. Apologies for that. Patience, do we have you back?
Yes, sorry about that. So I was saying, just to conclude, we need not to look at ourselves, because we will make mistakes like Peter, mm-hmm. but don't be like Judas and look at yourself. So we already have an example, and I highly believe that had Judas went to apologize, Jesus would have forgiven, right? Jesus would say, yeah, I went to the cross for you. So we already have that example, and we don't have to fear, because we have a person who has sinned so many times, a person who denied Christ at the most crucial time. That was very crucial. Yeah. But Jesus is like, it's okay, I forgive you. So it doesn't matter what you have done, how many times you've done it. Don't look at yourself. Look at what Jesus can do for you, and he can cover you. Just stand behind him.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Patience. Such a beautiful lesson and a beautiful reminder of what Jesus has done for us and continues to do for us, so that we may face the judgment unafraid. Thank you for your time. Until tomorrow, God bless you.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.